Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Happy New Year. I hope you've had a good start to 2013. If not, it's okay. There's plenty of year left. So praise the Lord. I wanted to have a good start, so I made PowerPoint for you today. Hopefully it works for us. Please open your Bibles to the book of Mark. It's the second book of the New Testament, right after Matthew. We're in chapter 1, verse 15. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. It's there in your bulletin. And by the way, it's nice to have a bulletin after 2 weeks going without. And in that bulletin, there are many wonderful things for your encouragement. So I would commend those to you. Also, I think it's not in there, but on the 27th of January, there will be a Bible study for Filipinos, and it will start from 10 o'clock in the morning. So please be reminded of that as well. Every Sunday at 12:45, there is a prayer time. And please join us on the second floor of the SmileCon. We meet for prayer there. So I hope you can make that as well. Okay, hope this works. Shake the talk keyboard. No. Okay, good. Wonderful. All right. So we're in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And it's one verse today. Let's read it together. Ready? Let's read. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Amen. That's the words of Jesus right there. So our message today is repentance and the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is not my idea. It's Pastor Hiroshi's idea. This year, we're going to do a series on that topic, the kingdom of God. I'm excited to study it and to teach it, and I hope you'll be excited to study it with us. If Japanese is your preference, we have the 10:30 service, and Pastor Hiroshi will be leading in this teaching. He preached this passage this morning in the Japanese service, and now it's my turn to give it a shot in English. And it's the first sermon on the kingdom of God, and we'll be going through all the meanings, all the richness of what the Bible says about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is something that Jesus talked about so many times. And so we want to see, as followers of Jesus, what he says about the kingdom of God. And so our sermon today is one of the first things he ever did was when he started preaching. It was about the kingdom of God. We've got 3 points. 1, the kingdom of God. 2, repentance. 3, believing in the good news. First of all, the kingdom of God. So what's the kingdom of God? The Bible didn't start with the kingdom of God. If you read the book of Genesis, doesn't mention the kingdom of God until chapter 10. And from chapter 10, it talks about the kingdom of Babel and the kingdom of Uz and so on and so forth. But up until chapters 1 through 9, there was no kings mentioned, no kingdoms. Why? Because when God made the universe and God made the world, it was just fine. It was perfect. There was no tragedy, no suffering, no pain, no fighting, no wars. And the relationships between God and man, and between man and man, were at peace. There was no shame. And even between man and woman, it was nice. It was oneness. And then Genesis chapter 3. Man took the world that God gave him. And God said to man, here's the world. Here is the world. I give you dominion, authority over the whole world. It's a gift to you. And here is your life. Rule over it. Take dominion over it. And so man took God's world and he broke it. And what he tried to do was try to rule God's world, rule his life without God. And so here I am, I've got the world in my hands, I've got my life, and I'm going to live it without God. And what happens with life when you try to live it without God? It breaks. Because life is meaningless without God. Life does not work the right way without God, because he is the one who made it. He's the one who lived. And so the world doesn't work right. But that's how many of us live. Let's be honest. We're practical atheists. Okay, maybe there is a God. We're agnostic. I don't know if he's there. If he's there, he's out there. And this is my life every day. And okay, there's church, and Bible studies, and there's prayer times, and there's Christmas, and there's Easter, but my life is every day, from Monday to Saturday, even Sunday. Where's God there? And so practically, there is no God in my life. And then we wonder, why is my life broken? Why are my relationships messed up? And so in Genesis, it starts off, the Genesis chapter 3, we break the world, okay? And what happens as a result? Men break relationships with men. We start to have jealousy. And so that jealousy results in stealing and theft. That envy results in coveting. And that coveting results in adultery. And that jealousy and that pride results in hatred. And that hatred results in murder. And that murder results in having laws and boundaries. And then those boundaries get bigger and bigger as people get more and more. And there's countries. And now there's kingdoms. And there's nations who have to put up boundaries between each other. And the people who rule those countries are the kings. And now those countries are kingdoms. Because we broke the world. And so we go through the whole new Old Testament now. And a recurring theme is man's need for a king. We're looking for a king. We're looking for someone who will rule our life the way it's supposed to be ruled. We're looking for a leader who will guide our lives the way it should go. And so the whole Old Testament, we're given just a glimpse of a king. Maybe a king like Saul, a king like David, a king like Solomon. Wise, passionate, strong. But none of them are the king that we're all looking for. And God is saying, yeah, that's right. They're men. They're disappointing in every way. But it's okay, because when you look at them, you got to look not at them, you got to look through them and look at the real king. And when you read about them and you read the Old Testament, God is whispering. He's saying, the king is coming. The king is coming. Just got to wait for it. The king is coming. So the message of the Old Testament is the king is coming. And so we get to the New Testament, and there's a man. His name is John. John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. And he's saying, it's coming. The king is coming. It's time to repent. It's time to change. It's time to start anew. Because, behold, the Lamb of God, the King of the world, who takes away the sins of the world. And John is raising up a big ruckus. He's turning over a lot of things. And so the king at that time, he is Herod the Great. He sees that John is talking about the real king, and he feels threatened. So King Herod puts John into prison. And you read that, Mark chapter 1, verse 14, right? You got it in your bulletin. It's right there. So the king puts John the Baptist into prison for preaching about the kingdom of God. And so whose turn is it? The king. The real king. He steps up. Jesus comes into the picture. Chapter 1, verse 15. And Jesus says, okay, John's in prison. Let me go. And what does Jesus say? The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Now that word, it's near, the time has come. Basically it says, the time is now. The time is fulfilled. It's like some of you, you're in school, you've been studying, you've been preparing, that date is coming, right? It's time for the test. It's the day of the test. The time is now. It's sink or swim. Some of you are married. You've had long engagements up to a year. You've had short engagements up to 3 months. Whatever it is, you've been planning. You've been preparing. What color? What pattern? What place? And finally, that day arrives of the wedding. The time is now. And so Jesus is saying, you've been waiting. God's been whispering, I'm coming. Here comes the king. And Jesus says, the time is now. The kingdom of God is here. Now, when he says the kingdom of God is here, what is he saying? Just recently, I saw this TV show. In America, there's a reality TV show. It's called Jersey Shore. And now I don't recommend it to anybody here officially. The only way I saw it was through videos on YouTube. But in this reality TV show, there are four guys, and four girls. And they're from New Jersey, and they have a kind of lifestyle. They're party people, and they're young, and they're cool, and they talk with a Jersey accent. I don't know what that is. But it's funny, the way they interact and fight and everything. Now, the most popular character of this TV show is a girl named Nicole. Her nickname is Snooki. And Snooki, she's very, you know, loud and vivacious and out there. And whenever she goes to a party, she comes to the party, the door is open, and the first thing she says is, the party is here. Now, what does she mean by that? When she says, she doesn't say, I'm here. She doesn't say, Nicole is here. She doesn't say, Snooki is arrived. She says, the party is here. What does she mean? She says, look, you all have been having your party. You've had your party people, you have your party food, you have your party drinks, your party music, the party games, the party atmosphere. It's not a party. Not till I'm here. Because I'm the party, is what she's saying. And so when she comes, now the party starts. So what does Jesus say? Oh, we have our kingdom people. We have our religious folks. We have our church folks, we have the religious gatherings, we have our meetings, we have our music, we have our songs, we have our events, but it's nothing without me. Because when I come, the kingdom is here. So what am I saying? The kingdom of God is Jesus Christ. That's what he means when he says the kingdom is here. There was a little boy. He was asked to write a letter to God, letter to Jesus. And so he wrote, "Jesus, today I went to church. It was a lot of fun. We had some games and singing. We had a boring sermon. But after that, we had some donuts and we had some snack time. And it was great. Jesus, I wish you were there." Okay, you missed it. Let me try one more time. So this boy, he writes a letter and he says, "Jesus, we had church today. We did all these church things. Too bad you weren't there. Church, we can do all these things that look like a kingdom of God. But without Jesus, it's not the kingdom. Jesus is the kingdom. And so when he says the kingdom of God is here, he said, I'm here. It starts with me. It ends with me. And so it's here. Now, what is the meaning of the kingdom of God? We've got all year to talk about it. I just wanted to give you that. Okay. The kingdom of God is Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God, Christianity, is Jesus Christ. What is the difference between our kingdom and the Buddhist kingdom? What is the difference between Christianity and Islam? What separates us Christians us Christians from Hindus? Is it love? I don't think so. Buddhists love, Hindus love, Muslims love. They got a lot of love. Is it faith? No. Everybody preaches faith. You can't be a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Hindu without faith. Everybody believes. Is it forgiveness? You're getting close. The way Christians forgive and the way other people forgive, other religions forgive, it's a little bit different. But forgiveness is all there. What is it that makes us different from everybody else? What is it about the kingdom of God and the rest of the kingdoms of this world? What did Jesus preach? When Jesus came and he started preaching the kingdom of God, did he preach love? Okay. Did he preach faith? Okay. Did he preach forgiveness? Yes. But what was the first thing he preached? What was the first thing he preached, church? Repentance. Repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repeat after me. Repentance. Change. Repentance means change. Now, the Greek word, I've said this before, here's some happy review. Repentance in the Greek, it's actually two words made into one, metanoeo. Metanoeo. Noeo, the main word, is the way you think, the way you view something, your point of view, your perspective, your thinking, your thought process. Okay? Noeo. Meta means to change it, to switch, to alter it. So, metanoeo, to repent, means to change your thinking. It's a deep change. And why is this our word for today? Because it's the first sermon of 2013. Everybody's thinking about change. I've been thinking about it all through this whole new year. I'm 98 kilograms, my friends. 98 kilograms. That is not healthy. And I should be about, that's 8 kilograms too many. So I'm thinking, change! I need to repent of my eating habits. Some of you are thinking, change. And you've got ideas of what you need to stop doing or what you need to start doing. What you need to continue doing or what you need to discontinue doing. So that idea of changing our thoughts, not just our actions, but our thoughts. Now, what's interesting is the Japanese word for repent is a little bit different. It's the word, for those of you who are not Japanese, this is a very useful word. It's kui aratame. Kui aratame. And that's two words also, like the Greek. And in the Japanese, kuiru is a verb. It means to have regret or to feel sorrow or to be remorseful, to feel, have a sense of guilt, that zayakukan, sense of guilt, kui. And then the other word is aratame. Aratameru is to change, like metta in Greek. So whether it's in Greek or whether it's in Japanese, the number one thing that unites both of those is the word, what? Change. Change. Now, the Japanese is sorrow resulting in change, but the Greek is to change your thinking, your thoughts. Let me give you an example. Real simple. For Christmas, I gave, this is a humble brag, I gave my wife an iPod so that she can listen to her own podcasts. I've been listening to podcasts. They've been great. And so what she wants to do is she wants to listen to Mitaki's sermons. And so what she had been doing was she'd been using our family iPad. And so in order to listen, she'd have to plug in here, and then she'd have to carry this thing, you know, doing dishes or doing laundry or whatever. And I felt bad. I felt kui arata, you know. I felt sorrow for her that she has to lug this thing around. So I said, okay, let's get an iPod for you. Now, here's the problem. I've been listening to this, you know, podcasts and sermons, not just sermons anymore. It got crazy for me. I would download sermons, and then I was looking for some basketball, so I would download a lot of basketball podcasts and everything about the NBA. That wasn't enough. So I'd start downloading comedy and drama and whatever I could think of. And so what happens is I've got this earphone in my ear all the time. And I could be in the living room with my wife, with my kids. They're trying to talk to me, but I've got somebody else talking to me. And it got stupid. It got ridiculous. And the Lord, and I'm talking to God. I'm having prayer time with God. Lord, what's wrong with my communication with my wife? You know, we're not communicating right now. We're not connecting heart to heart. What is it, Lord? What's wrong with her? You know? And he's saying, look in your pocket, Chris. Get that stupid thing out of your ear. And I had to change my thoughts. And the change didn't start with here. It started here. Give you one more example. I got a phone call this week, January 2nd. Pastor Chris, I need your time. I need to talk to you. A good friend of mine, he says, look, Chris, I made a mistake. I made a decision without my wife. And now we're down this road, and it's hard. Our life now is very hard, financially, spiritually, emotionally. It's taxing on us. And Chris, I mean, I got to just admit to you, I made a huge mistake. And now my whole family is suffering, and what I want to do is just acknowledge it and get going with the rest of my life. And what was he doing? He was repenting. He was repenting because he understood he had been trying to do it his way. He took his life that God gave to him and he broke it. And so repentance says, okay, I see what it is. I made a mistake. God, you were right. I am wrong. And he changed from the inside. By acknowledging it. What does 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 say? Verse 8. If we say that we're without sin, we make God to be a liar. And God is not a liar. But if we confess our sins, repent, God is faithful and he is just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Change. Change is what Jesus was preaching. Do I have anything on that? Now, Real quick, when do we repent? When Jesus says repent, how often is that for us? 500 years ago, a man named Martin Luther, he wanted to have a debate with his Bible teachers about the purchasing or buying indulgences, basically religious people buying salvation. And he wanted to debate that. He was studying his Bible. So he wrote in Latin 95 sentences, statements about what he believed real Christian life was. And he nailed it on the door in his German church in Wittenberg, Germany. Somebody looked at it, said, oh, that is a good description of a Christian life. Translated it into German, sent it off to this place called the printing press. It was like the internet of its time. It was revolutionary. It changed the world. They made copies and copies of this 95 theses. And it spread all throughout Europe, and it changed Christianity. And we're here, a Protestant church, because of that. And the number one thing that Martin Luther wrote as his number one thesis about Christianity is this. When our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, said, repent, he intended that the entire life of believers is one of repentance. My friends, I want to present this to you. If you are a Christian and you think, I've repented of overeating, I've repented of lying, I've repented of coveting, I've repented of adultery, I've repented of whatever, you're wrong. You don't repent. You are repenting. You repent every moment. Every day, every time you face Jesus and you see your sin, it's an opportunity to repent. That's the meaning of the word repentance. It's to change often. What is Jesus teaching us by the Lord's Prayer? Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. This is a daily prayer, our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. It's a daily exercise of repentance. When you say, God, forgive me of my sins, you're repenting. And how often do we do it? All the time. I want you to think, this is the year of the snake. And the year of the snake, how does it live? It's got the skin. And when that skin gets old and flaky, it sheds the skin. And now it has a fresh skin. It has a new skin. And then that gets old, dirty, flaky, crusty, hard. It gets rid of that, and it gets a new skin. It's repenting. The skin is repenting. It's changing, and it's growing. So our life is one of continual repentance. Why? Because repentance, follow it with me, repentance is change. Now here's the key. Change is growth. Repentance is change. Change is growth. If you're not repenting, you're not growing. I want to ask you, Christian, follower of Jesus Christ, are you growing? Are you repenting? Because change, without repentance, there is no growth. Without growth, there is no repentance. Oh, there it is, right there. Repentance, right there. Good thing I got it up there. Now, okay, so what is it we repent of? What is it that we repent of? Do we repent of sin? Yeah, okay, sure. Jesus preached that. Do we repent of religion? I'm a Christian. I'm better than everybody. I go to church. I'm saved. Yeah, Jesus preached that. You should repent of that too. By the way, Jesus preached a lot of repentance. So basically what I'm saying is every sermon, every time I come up here, I have to preach repentance. I'm doing that. Now, I may not say repentance in every sermon, but I'm going to get there in every sermon because that's growth. Now, what are we repenting of? Sin? Okay, maybe. Is it religion? Maybe. What does Jesus say we need to repent of? Here's the thing. We repent of our lack of faith. We repent of our non-belief. Because here's what he says. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe. We've got two hands. In the one hand, we have repentance. In the other hand, we believe. This is the word of Christ. They are two hands that go together. You can't have belief without repentance. It's the right hand and the left hand. It's the front wheel and the rear wheel. They go together. Repentance and belief. Belief in what? Because you can believe and believe and believe and believe, but that's not going to bring about change, the change that you want in your life, the growth that you want. What is it that you don't believe enough of? He says, believe in the good news. Believe in the gospel. This is my last point. I'll be very brief. What is the gospel? Because it's not just having faith. It's what you put your faith in. That's what matters. So what is it that we put our faith in? It's the gospel, Jesus says. What's the gospel, the good news? It's three things. Number one, it's the crucifixion. Number two, it's the resurrection. Number three, it's the ascension. The crucifixion. The crucifixion. Our sins, our debt to God is paid for by Jesus Christ, his blood on the cross. Our insults to one another, our guilt that we carry, was taken by Jesus Christ. And in place of our guilt, he gives us forgiveness. In place of our shame, he gives us freedom by the crucifixion. And then he was buried, and then 3 days later, he resurrected in flesh and in body and in power and in glory and in majesty. And in that resurrection, what did he do? He conquered sin, which all of us have. He conquered death, which all of us deserve. The wage of sin is death. He conquered Satan, our enemy. He conquered hell, the place we all belong for our sins. And you say, one more thing, he conquered the wrath of God through his resurrection. Now, maybe you're thinking, some of you here, yeah, Chris, that's nice. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in the wrath of God. I believe God is good. He's all loving. He's so kind. He would never send anyone to hell. Oh, there's a heaven. But how could there be a hell if God is love? That's what I believe. My answer to you is you believe a lie. You believe what's false. My dear friends, if God is love, there must be a hell. Let me put it to you this way. I send my son to school. If he goes to school, someone comes in and tries to abuse, hurt, or even murder my son. And you know that's possible in this world that we live in. There is evil. There is evil in this world. If evil is real, then hell has to be real. Because hell has to be the answer to evil. The wrath of God has to be the answer to sin. If God is loving, if God is just. If someone tries to hurt my son, and he hurts my son, and I say, well, I'm loving, I'm all forgiving, I'm a nice guy, and I don't do anything about it, how could I love my son? It doesn't make sense. But Jesus, in his resurrection, answered all of that by proving that it's possible. And then finally, Number three, the ascension. Here's the best part, my friends. Here's how it all ties in together. Jesus, 5 weeks after he raises from the dead, goes up to the sky to be seated in the right hand of the Father. He says, I'm coming back a second time. Just you wait. But while I'm up there, I'm going to give you my spirit, the spirit of truth. I'm going to put my spirit inside of you so that for those of you who believe in Jesus, your old spirit is dead. It's what we call the flesh. You put it to death. And now you have a new spirit from Jesus Christ living inside of you, giving you life. And that spirit is what gives you now the power to change. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Repentance is what? Change. How do we get it? Belief. In what? The gospel. The gospel in the ascension of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God in us, giving us the real power to change. My friends, here's the final point. If you want real change in your life, if you want to really grow as a human, as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father, the degree to which you believe in Jesus Christ, the cross, the empty tomb, and the resurrection, that's the degree to which you are able to change. You got to come to Jesus. You have to come to Jesus. You see, I read yesterday in my Bible reading, John chapter 5, and Jesus said to his religious friends, he says, look, you can search the scriptures, memorize your Bible, give all you want. And you do that. You search the scriptures thinking that in the scriptures you have life. No. You can be religious, do all the church things you want, but you don't come to me, Jesus is saying. You never come to me. There's a difference between reading the scriptures and coming to Jesus. My invitation to you today is come to Jesus. Today I read John chapter 6. And he says, there's a difference between seeing me and coming to me. Some of you, you understand what I'm saying. You understand you need to repent. You understand that Jesus is real. And that you need to come. But Jesus says, you can see Jesus, but you got to come. You got to come. And what do I mean by come? I'm saying, look, maybe after the sermon is done, you can come. Literally come. Come to Jesus and I'll pray for you and you could be with Jesus today before you leave here. What else? When you go out of these doors and you go to your home, maybe Jesus is there waiting for you in your house. You need to come home to Jesus in your house. Maybe he's waiting for you in your workplace. There's somebody alone. There's someone who's awkward. There's somebody who's weird. KY. There's someone who's just bothers you. That's Jesus. And you need to come to Jesus with humility, repentance, grace. I don't know. The point is you got to come to Jesus. Because the kingdom of God is here. And so he gives us repentance and faith in the gospel. Okay, the gospel. The crucifixion, the cross, God becoming a man, and as Paul puts it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. So we celebrate that through communion by partaking in the bread, which is a symbol of his body, and in the cup, which is a symbol of his blood. If you are a Christian and you've been baptized and you believe in Jesus Christ, I welcome you to come and partake of the body and the blood. And if not, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ yet, then it's okay. You don't have to partake of this ritual. You can just wait until we're almost done with the service. But if you do believe in Jesus and you want to get baptized someday, oh, please come and partake. But before we do that, do we have the communion slides? We do? Okay. We're going to get our communion slides ready. Let me close the sermon with a prayer. Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth, in my life, in my family, in my school, at work, in my church, in my heart. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I need to repent again and again. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And for my brothers and sisters here who need to repent, who need to confess, who need to change, who need to grow, help us, Lord Jesus. We believe in the gospel. Lord, help us to believe more. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.